warning, page Nun Hei, paragraph Mem Aleph. We Gemara continues with additional statements of Rabbi Elazar, with no apparent connection to the subject of Erev Masechet. But yesterday we had six or seven statements of Rabbi Elazar about Deya, and now we continue with more statements of Rabbi Elazar, after which we will return one last time to the subject of Tchias HaMesim, before moving on to other things. So the Gemara says, "V'am Rabbi Elazar, kol bayit ein divrei Torah nishma'im bo balayla ish ochalto. Any house in which divrei Torah are not heard at night will be consumed by fire. Shneamar, kol choshech tamun mitzvunav tochlehu ish lonu tochlehu ish lonu pach yaras sarid bohalo." Ein sarid el tamid chacham shemar v'sridim asher Hashem korei. The pasuk in Iyov, it says that there is darkness hidden. The absence of Torah is darkness. It will be eaten by, consumed by fire. Yaras sarid v'ohalo. Rashi says, if it's bad in someone's eyes, that there be a sarid in his tent. And a sarid is a talmid chacham, so such a house will be consumed by fire. So Gemara doesn't actually flow very well, because who was talking about a talmid chacham? It was talking about learning Torah in your house, and then suddenly it's talking about a talmid chacham. So Rav Reuven Margolius says that there's something missing here in the Gemara. He says that he remembers, he doesn't say where, he says he remembers seeing another girsa, which had more words. And it says that there are actually two statements here. Ram Rabbi Lazar, kol bayit shein divrei Torah nishmeim bo balayla, a house in which divrei Torah are not heard at night, will be consumed by fire. And on that, the first half of the pasuk is going, tochlehu eish, will be consumed by fire. And then it should say, another statement of Rabbi Lazar, if a person does not have Tamid Chacham as a guest, his house also will be consumed by fire. Ein sarid ba'ahalo. On that, Rashi says, if it's bad in his eyes to have a sarid, and the Gemara says a sarid is Tamid Chacham, then his house will be consumed by fire. Now, there are many houses where people don't learn Torah at night, and they're not consumed by fire. Rasha says it doesn't mean a physical fire, it means a fire of Gehenna. And Rasha says that, first of all, this is talking about a person, a regular person who's not a Talmid Chacham. It's talking about someone who demonstrates he does not value Torah. So that answers a question you might have been planning to ask. Well, what if I don't learn Torah at home? What if I go to shul and learn Torah there? So in the time of the Gemara, there was no such thing. They didn't have electricity. And once it got, you'd go to shul for mincha, you'd learn a little bit, daven mariv, go home and go to sleep. They didn't have lights at home. They didn't learn at home. But if a person was working all day and didn't learn anything during the day, then he better learn at home, because he better show that he values Torah study. Okay. Nowadays, if a person goes out to the Beis Medrash, presumably, this is my own speculation, but presumably that accomplishes the same thing, because he's showing that he values Torah study. But mida keneged mida, if he doesn't show that he values Torah study, so the Torah is called Eish, and so he will be consumed by the Eish of Gehenom, the fire of Gehenom. Then he continues, Ram Reb Lazar, Kol Shino Maneh Tamid Chacham in Chasav, Inor Esim Amracha L'Olam. If a person doesn't allow a Tamid Chacham to have benefit from his property, he will never see a blessing. Shemar Ein Sarid L'Ochlo, Alkein Lo Yachil Tuvah. Says there's no sarid to eat, therefore goodness will not rest on him. Ein sarid el tamid chacham, and again, a sarid is a means a tamid chacham. Shnarav sridim asher Hashem korei, the remnants that Hashem calls. So that refers to a tamid chacham. And again, the Marsha says this is referring to a person who is not himself a tamid chacham. If a person is not himself a tamid chacham, then at least he should support tamid chacham. V'amar Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Lazar says further, Kol she'inu m'sheir patal shulchano eino ro'e siman bracha l'olam. If a person does not leave bread on his table, he will never see a blessing. She'nemar ein sarid lo'chlo. It says there's no remnant to eat it. And here the remnant refers to the bread on the table. Akein lo'echil tuvo. Therefore, the goodness will not rest. But didn't Rabbi Lazar say that if you leave crumbs on a table, it's as if you are worshiping idols? It says those who set the table for God, Gimel Daled, is a reference to Avodah Zarah. I can't help wondering if our word God comes from that word. I don't know, but Pasuk says that refers to those who set the table for Avodah Zarah. There seems to be a contradiction. Rashi says that it was a custom to set the table and leave it that way as if the Avodah Zarah was going to come eat from it. So it's a contradiction in two statements of Rabbi Lazar. One says you should leave bread on the table. The other one says you shouldn't leave bread on the table. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. It's not a contradiction. Hadi kashlima b'hadei, hadalei kashlima b'hadei. If there is already a, Rashi says, if you have crumbs on the table and you bring a whole loaf of bread also, when you're finished eating, so it looks like you're bringing the loaf of bread for the Avodah Zarah. But if the table is clear, if you have crumbs on the table, but you don't bring another loaf, then it doesn't look like you're bringing it for Avodah Zarah because you didn't bring anything. On the other hand, if you don't have crumbs on the table, table's completely clear, and you bring another loaf, that's good, because you're saying, I'm bringing more food to the table in case a poor person knocks on the door. Nowadays, the people who knock on our doors rarely want to sit down for dinner with us, but once upon a time, there was such a thing. If the table is clear, and then it's okay, the way Rashi is learning, it's okay to bring a whole loaf to the table.
Okay, right? But are you supposed to?
One step at a time. Huh? One step at a time. Okay. So we have a Mishnah Berurah. Today we'll learn some halacha. Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Pei. Dinei Perurei Hapat. The laws of breadcrumbs. Aleph. Should not remove the tablecloth and the table and the bread until after benching. Mishnah Berurah says, Aleph, Ein lasir kedei shehei nikar lakol shemrachim l'Hashem yitbrach al chastov tuvo agadol shechein mazon l'chol b'rita, so that it will be obvious that you are benching to Hashem for his kindness and his goodness, that he prepares food for everyone. If you clear the table, then and people come in and they see you looking in little booklets and mumbling words, they're going to wonder, what's this all about? But if it's obvious you just ate, then it's obvious why you're benching. That's one reason. Vigam, and also, to have bracha inash shura al davar reik, el kashish sham davar. Bracha does not rest on emptiness, but only rests on something else, kinyan pach shel shemen shel Elisha, like the container of oil of Elisha. referring to the widow. This is Haftorah for Parshas Vayira. The widow who came to Elisha and she said she has debts, she has nothing. And Elisha said, well, what do you have in the house? And she said, I have a little bit of oil. So Elisha said, okay, go borrow lots of containers and pour your oil into as many containers as you can borrow. Well, he didn't tell her that, but that's what happened. Why did he have to ask her what she has in the house? Why didn't he just give her a bracha that money should rain down on her house? Because that's not how brachos work. Brachos have to rest on something. So if you have a little bit of oil, then the oil can multiply. Why didn't a miracle happen in the Beis HaMikdash that the Chashmonaim came in and the menorah just burst into flames? It's not the way God works. The miracles rest on something. They had to find a little bit of oil, and then that oil could burn for 8 days. They had to, the widow in the story with Navi Elisha, she had to have a little bit of oil, and that oil could multiply. So when we bench, we are seeking Hashem's bracha. We're not only thanking Hashem, but we're requesting Hashem's bracha. There has to be something for the bracha to rest on.
Burning bush fit then?
I don't see an obvious connection. What would be?
It was a miracle. It was burned but not consumed.
Yeah.
And so that in itself ties in.
That's a miracle, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure a connection.
This is doing bad. Breadcrumbs are left over. I didn't see if she's right. Yeah.
Okay. That Sif Bet in the Shulchan Aruch. Kol mi she'eino mashir pat al shulchano, eino ro'e simar b'chal olam. If a person does not leave bread on his table, he will never see a blessing. Avelo yavi pat shlema v'itnena al shulchan. He should not bring a whole loaf and put it on the table. V'masa kein michze del shem v'ra kochavim avid. If he does it, it looks like he did it for Avodah Zarah. Shneamar harochim lagad shulchan. As Pasuk says, they set their tables for Avodah Zarah. Sif katan bet in the Mishabura. Komi sheino ditzarich l'shir kadei sheim uzuman lani sheva. So, a third reason. You have to leave something for a poor person who comes. So we already had two reasons for leaving bread on the table before. One is that so that it will be apparent what we're blessing Hashem for. Second was so Hashem can give us a blessing. The third is, in case somebody knocks on the door, there'll be bread on the table. As Chazal said, similar to what Chazal said, that one who sits at the table for a long time, drags out his meal, his days will be lengthened. Because maybe a poor person will come. Again, this is not so practical. Nowadays, poor people don't usually knock on our doors looking for food. But if you sit, the longer you sit at the table, the bigger the chances of a poor person coming for a meal. And if therefore, you should have bread on the table.
And your neighbor could come leading to talk to you. You could create an environment.
Right, but our neighbors typically are not hungry. Looking for a meal. I mean, maybe if he didn't like his wife's lunch and he comes hoping you'll offer him a better lunch, maybe, but it doesn't happen too often.
Does it have to be literally eating?
Well,
I come by your house and hear a devar Torah. You know,
okay, but here, right here, we're talking about halachos of leaving bread on the table. Right, this is the Shabura. And we're discussing specifically halachos of leaving bread on the table. Okay. The And a fourth reason for leaving bread on the table, to thank Hashem for his great goodness, that we have leftover food. You'll eat and you'll have leftovers. Hashem's goodness is so great that you have more than you need. A Mishnah Berurah Gimel, if you don't leave bread on the table, then you will never see a simen bracha. Kedichtiv ein sarid lochlo akein lo yichil tuvo. Mishnah Berurah quotes our Gemara. The pasuk says that there's no leftovers to eat, therefore the goodness will not rest. V'katav shla. And the Shla Kadosh writes, it's good to give the poor person the best of what's on the table. Especially if he's an important ani. That in this way you show him that you're receiving him with a nice countenance. The Gemara Poskim in general emphasize the importance, and I've seen this myself. It's not, you know, although the poor people coming to my door never ask for food, they always, well, rarely ask for food. Once in a while they do, but they usually want money. They usually want money. No, only saying, once in a while I've had people ask me for food, but usually they want money. And as much as they want money, the attitude with which they are greeted in many cases, I've had people say to me, you know, first of all, you know, well, last year you gave me this. I'm sorry, this year I can't give you. You know, and I've had people say sometimes, you know, even though you can't give me what I was hoping for, okay, the way you smiled when I came in means so much to me. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're rushing, or you know, the people sometimes don't look so clean, and it's, you know, the natural tendency is to leave them standing in the front hall, even offering them a seat if you can. I mean, you can't always, but if you, you know, and it depends how your house is set up. I happen to have a couch 6 feet from my front door. Okay, it's very easy, what I remember, to offer them a seat. It makes such a difference.
Okay? What did they want? A seat?
Yeah, sometimes, no. Some do. Some do, some don't. Some do, some don't. It depends. But some do, some don't. But the point is, the attitude with which we receive them is you know, not on a practical level, but is very important. Not only the money you give. Okay. So to hear, he's saying that the Mishnah Berurah is saying that if you offer the ani some good food, you know, not you're eating steak and you offer him peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you offer him, you know, the good food that you're eating, that makes him feel good, and it's very important. Shla Kadosh continues, I praise those communities who feed Yeshiva Bacharim at their tables, Kol Hashanah Kehavim Bneim, all year long, like one of their children. And this way, the Baal Abayit accomplishes two things. Mitzvat Chelek Aniyim, V'gam Mitzvat Divrei Torah Al Shulchan. He feeds the poor, and he has Divrei Torah on his table. Stam Bachur Kazeh Anihu, a typical Yeshiva Bachar, especially in those days, is poor. V'gam Yidaber Divrei Torah Al Shulchan, and he'll speak Divrei Torah on the table. And what's eaten on the table, morning and evening, is like the two korbanos tamid ad kan l'shano, until here from the shav uvav el yarab and brought el yarab. Aval, the Shulchan Aruch continues, you should not bring a new loaf of bread to the table. So Mishnah Berurah says, Rotzil Amar, im yesh ptitim al shulchan, if there are already crumbs on the table, then you should not bring a new loaf. Well, im ein ptitim al shulchan, but if there are no crumbs on the table, mutar la viafilu shlima, then it's permitted to bring a new loaf to the table. Uveshema zohar katvu shetov lasot kein lechatchila, and the name of Zohar, it's written that not only you're permitted to bring a fresh loaf to the table, but it's a good thing to do. Did that answer your question?
No.
Then what was your question?
The question was, let's say you're eating there are a few crumbs on the table, but you know, they're de minimis. They're crumbs.
Right.
Should you purposely leave over, like, see him too. She write him like a more so a little substantial piece.
I think that did answer the question, because the Mishnah Berurah said that if there are no crumbs on the table, bring a fresh loaf. You're asking what I understand you to be asking is, should you dafka not finish the bread? And Mishnah Berurah is saying, in name of the Zohar, that it's good to bring a fresh loaf to the table if there's nothing on the table. So that means it was okay to finish what was on the table, and you'll bring a fresh loaf. Right? Now, there is a separate, totally separate issue of Ravina Yona talks about this, not in Shari Tshuva, but in, I forgot what it's called. It's a short essay by Ravina Yona that's in many editions of Shari Tshuva, is printed at the end. And he says there that it's a good thing not to finish everything on your plate. He's not dafka talking about bread. Okay. You know, people who sit at the table, you know, licking the gravy with their finger, you've seen that sometimes. Okay. It's extremely bad midah, because besides that it might be revolting to other people at the table, which is in itself a bad midah, the idea of acting like I am starving to death and I need to lick every last crumb on my plate, every last drop, okay, is a bad midah. It's a good midah for a person to demonstrate that he's not a glutton by leaving over a little bit. Now, if you leave over something substantial, that's baal tashkas, okay, especially if you don't have a refrigerator. Okay. But but on the other hand, leaving, you know,
that is meaningful, not so much that is wasteful.
You want to leave something that shows that you have good midos and you're not a glutton who has to eat every last crumb in sight. Okay. So that's a separate issue. But the
reason I'm asking this one is because I read that Chassidim on Friday night, that they purposely leave over some of the challah for Friday night for the Shabbos meal.
Okay, could be.
The implication I got from that, which I don't know is not necessarily correct, is that during the week it's not necessary.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's see next Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so Mishnah Berurah says, "Hey, Ayem Magen Avraham Shekatav Du Adinim Yeshim Al Shchan Lo Yvi Petitim." Magen Avraham says, similarly, if there's a whole loaf on the table, you should not bring crumbs. Prima Gadim Katav Du Adin Lo Yisher Petitim Al Shchan Kshesh Lima. And Prima Gadim says, also, you should not leave crumbs if there's a whole loaf. Some people are lenient. In other words, if you have a whole loaf, then clear the crumbs off the table. Make the table look nice, and you have the whole loaf there. Some people are lenient that it's not necessary to clear the table. That on Shabbos, you definitely do not need to clear all the crumbs off the table before benching, and not the whole loaf either, because everyone knows that it's left there for Kavod Shabbos. Okay. The brings here in the Dirshu footnotes, in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos, says that on Shabbos the Arizal would leave after benching. The Arizal would leave the crumbs and put away the whole loaf. Okay, and that the Kaf HaChaim says, in the name of the Arizal, that if you would leave the whole loaf on the table overnight, that would be like setting the table for Avodah Zarah, like our Gemara said. But the Arizal would leave the crumbs on the table overnight, according to Magen Avraham. So maybe that's the origin of what you're talking about.
They expanded a little. Just from the crumbs.
Could be.
When we say crumbs, how big are we talking about?
Yeah, maybe that's the issue.
So it seems.
We should say the corrupt.
No, right. No. Well, since we are saying that one of the purposes of bringing a new loaf to the table is so that if a poor person comes, you'll have something to give him. So presumably the crumbs we're talking, we're saying if you don't have crumbs, bring a whole loaf. So crumbs, the word here is petitim, which I translated as crumbs. Really, petitim means small pieces. Because if you have small pieces that you could feed to a poor person, you don't know. You're not going to brush together the crumbs and give them to the poor person. Right. Not talking about crumbs. There's a separate halacha having to do with throwing away bread. And there's a machlokes about whether you're allowed to throw away crumbs. Bigger than kazayas, smaller than kazayas. There are different opinions. but here, crumbs probably wasn't the right translation. The right word probably was small pieces of bread. Okay. Okay. So we had four reasons for leaving something on the table. Again, one, so it will be apparent why we're benching. We're thanking Hashem for food. Two is so that the bracha that comes from Hashem will have something to rest on. Three is in case a poor person shows up. And four, as if to say to Hashem, thank you so much. We have so much we have leftovers. Okay. Incidentally, it is not proper. Magen Avraham elsewhere says this. It's not proper for a person ever to say, okay, I have more than I deserve. I'd say I have more than I need. It's not proper ever for a person to say I have more than I deserve. Because then you're implying that Hashem acts randomly and does something for nothing. So it's not proper for a person to say that.
Okay.
Even so. It's not proper to kol ha'omer kadosh baruch hu vatran. If a person says that Hashem isn't really a good word for this, if a person says that Hashem is like doesn't take an accounting, he's punished for that. Hashem is very precise. Hashem does chesed. Hashem has reasons for what he does. Okay, but it's not right for a person to go around saying, I don't know if it's not right for a person to think it. I'm not sure. But a person shouldn't say that I have
saying
more than
bad.
I deserve. Sorry?
The implication of saying bad.
You're implying, no, it's because you're implying. If you say, I'm a Rasha, I don't deserve everything Hashem gave me, then you're saying that Hashem does not take an accounting of our sins. You're denying that Hashem takes an accounting.
Put out
okay?
I don't know about that. What about the concept?
I'll tell you what the Magen Avraham says. I didn't make this up.
What about the concept, though, that if Hashem operated the world on Midas Adin, then nobody
okay,
exists.
So that means
nobody
that according to Midas HaChesed, you do deserve this. Hashem operated with Midas HaChesed and gave you what you deserve. So how can you say I don't deserve it? It doesn't mean a person should, I deserve this. Shouldn't say that either. But okay, a person shouldn't go around saying, okay, I have more than I deserve.
This is the anti-Navarrete.
No, it's nothing to do with.
Was it that part of it? Yeah, that I don't deserve anything. That was
Again, I'm not sure that the Magen Avraham is saying you shouldn't think it to yourself. Okay, but to go around saying, okay, there are a lot of stories about Navardic. Open up some Navardic Svarim and learn them. They're not exactly like the stories. There are some amazing stories too, but a lot of the stories people tell about Navardic are actually. Their origin is anti-Navardic people making fun of some of the perspectives of Nevardic, and maybe sometime we'll find a way to fit into a shiur what Nevardic was actually about and some of their ideas. In fact, I was thinking of that today, because it remotely connects to Gemara we did yesterday, and I was actually thinking of doing that today, but I didn't prepare that, so we won't do that today. Okay. In the Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah, so he summarizes the four reasons that Mishavur brings as well, brings them from their original sources. One is a Magen Avraham, one's a Lavush, one's Eliyahu Rabba, one's Rashi. And he says that according to all of them, it doesn't seem that you have to leave Dafka what was on the table before, but rather, if there is nothing left on the table, then you bring something to the table. Even according to the last reason that you're saying, look, Hashem, we have leftovers. Okay, and thank you so much that you gave us so much. We even have leftovers. The leftovers don't have to be on the table. The leftovers can be in the kitchen, and you bring them to the table because the point is you have more. You're not going begging for your next meal. You already have what you need. Back in the Gemara, we are now on page Nunchet, letter Mem Dalet. Vamar Rabbi Lazar. Kol machlif v'diburok ilu oved avodah kachavim. If a person changes his words, Rashi says that it means if a person disguises his voice. It's as if he does avodah zarah. Shneemar, I'm sorry, Ktiv Hacha, it says over there by Yaakov, that Yaakov said to Rivka, Vayiti beinav kimitatea, I will be in Yitzchak's eyes like a mitatea. Uchtiv Hatam, and it says in Yirmiyah regarding Avodah Zarah, Hevel Hema Masei Tatuim. It is nothing, it is a action of Tatuim, so it's a reference to Avodah Zarah, so you see that Es Yaakov was saying that if I disguise my voice, I will be like someone who does Avodah Zarah. So Rashi learns, and that's the closest literal interpretation of the Gemara, because it brings a pasuk from Yaakov, and Yaakov was being asked to disguise his voice. However, the Marsha learns it more broadly, machalif diburo, someone who changes his words, meaning someone who doesn't tell the truth. and he says, Ha'emet hu klal gadol b'kiyum ha'Torah, v'hefech ha'sheker. Truth is a great principle regarding keeping the Torah, and falsehood is the opposite. And he brings from the Sefer Ikarim that a prolific sinner came to a chacham and asked him how to do tshuva. So the answer to how to do tshuva is stop sinning and do mitzvos. But this guy said, you know, like, give me a break. I can't suddenly change everything all at once. I can't go from being a rasha to being a tzaddik just like that. So the chacham told him, hey, just accept upon yourself one thing. Never tell a lie. Okay, that sounds easy enough. So the guy said, okay, never tell a lie. A few days later, he was walking down the street. He was on his way to break into someone's house, and he met one of his friends, and his friend said, where are you going? He said, let's see now. And he realized, if he tells the truth, I'm going to break in someone's house, there'll be a witness, and he'll be caught, and he'll be executed. He said, well, that's not going to work. So committing himself to tell the truth saved him from committing other averos. And so you see the importance of telling the truth as a foundation for keeping the rest of the Torah.
So He
had to say, I'm going to the Beis Medrash to learn, and then he went to the Beis Medrash to learn, or I'm going shopping, and he went shopping. he couldn't tell the truth about where he was going. So, and therefore, but it, he couldn't, so he couldn't go.
He would have said, I'm going to the basement, stole.
But he accepted upon himself always to tell the truth. That was the one thing he accepted upon himself, always to tell the truth. So he got himself into a corner now. He couldn't steal anymore.
But even that exactly wasn't the truth, because he was planning on going. So he says, I'm going to
basement. His friend didn't ask him, where are you planning to go? His friend asked him, where are you going? So he said, I'm going for a walk and I'm going home. And then he went for a walk and he went home, and it was the truth. He didn't know where he was going until that happened. He thought he was going to break into someone's house, but he wasn't. Vam Rabbi Elazar, Olam have kabel v'kayam. Should always be kabel v'kayam. So Rashi says, kabel v'kayam means, kabel means humble, and kayam means exist. If you are humble, you will live. The Marsha says that the word kabel is related to the word, is Aramaic for darkness. Okay? You should always act as if you are walking in darkness. In other words, keep a low profile. Avoid ayin hara. Okay? The what is ayin hara? So that could be a whole shiur in itself, but one interpretation which ties into some things we're talking about before is that if a person acts in a showy way, then it causes other people to be jealous, and that in Shamayim causes the person who is showing off to be judged. Oh, you bought a new Ferrari? Do you really deserve a new Ferrari? Let's see. And they open up the account books, and turns out you didn't really deserve a new Ferrari, and therefore Hashem doesn't give people things they don't deserve, and therefore it will be taken away. And other bad things will happen, because a person brought, by showing off, a person brought judgment on himself. That is a one interpretation. I think I heard that from Rabbi Reisman, I'm sure in somebody's name, I don't remember who. That's one interpretation of Ayin Hara.
okay. Discussing that last night.
Okay.
Ron Friedland,
I said, I'm sure there are other interpretations.
We had a Lamborghini.
I almost said Lamborghini. I can tell you. Okay. Amar Vizera. Vizera says, Afanan Nami Tanina. We also learned the Brisa. Bait Afel Ein Pochatin Lo Chalonot Lerot Nigo. A dark house, you don't open windows to see the blemish. If somebody comes to a kohen and says, I think there's tzaras in my house, and the kohen goes to the house, and the house is dark, the kohen won't see the tzaras. You don't open up the windows to bring in light to see the tzaras. So you see, the person stays in the dark, stays under the radar, then the blemishes won't be seen, and he won't, ties in to the explanation, the Ayin Hara that I just mentioned. Okay. And the last statement of Rabbi Elazar, Vamar Rabbi Elazar called Mistakel be'erva kashtonin eret. If a person looks at an erva, his strength will be lost. Shenemar erya teor kashtecha. So Rashi gives a couple interpretations. Either it means to look at private parts, or it means to look at a married woman. And mida k'neged mida, either way, mida k'neged mida, person will lose his physical strength. Okay. So that is the conclusion of the statements of Rabbi Elazar. And tomorrow we will return to the subject of Triasa Mason. Have a good day.